This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Our China correspondent Jennifer Pak's been doing some reporting to mark the 70th anniversary of the People's Republic of China yesterday, for the record, October the 1st. President Trump has been clear that Beijing's been the big winner in the U.S.-China trade relationship, so Jennifer set out to find some of the people benefiting from that winning. She started yesterday with a factory worker who has prospered, but at real personal cost. Today we hear from her son. Here's Jennifer.
Nie Pengyu was just 14 when his mother left their village in central Henan province for work. She ended up here, 900 miles away in Dongguan City. A year later, in 2004, his father joined his mother, leaving Nie Pengyu and his five-year-old sister to be raised by their grandparents.
Not having my parents around was tough. There was nobody to keep us in line or help us with schoolwork.
Their education suffered, and they were far from the only ones. Around 60 million children were left behind in the countryside when their parents went off to work in the cities, according to several studies.
It's really hard for these kids to make it to university without parents to supervise them.
Sun Zhongwei is an associate professor of sociology at the East China University of Science and Technology. He says in many cases, cities don't allow migrants' children to sign up for school, unless their parents are officially registered there. And that registration process is long and hard. After Nie Pengyu finished junior high in his home village, he quit school.
In our village, there weren't many companies to work for, so I followed my parents at Dongguan.
At first, he worked alongside his mother at a shoe factory. Then he tried a few other jobs, but he didn't like any of them.
It was just the same thing, day in, day out, so boring. And I really wanted to start my own business.
But he says he had few options and few skills, though he did learn embroidery at one factory. His parents helped him buy three big machines that can sew tags and embroider designs on shoes, and then he hired two workers. These machines can get through up to 600 pairs of shoes a day. Nie Pengyu estimates half of the shoes he works on end up in America, which is a problem, because uncertainty over further tariffs, he says, is putting off his clients from ordering.
Right now, I'm getting 20 to 30% fewer orders than I was getting 2 years ago.
Migrant workers' children have far more options if they manage to get into university. People like Hu Maoling, who's majoring in chemical engineering.
My cousin is the chief engineer of a chemical factory, so I plan to work with him after I graduate.
And on semester breaks, he's happy to work in factories like Longho Shoes that make work boots for the U.S. market. Though he says, as far as trade goes, the Americans get at least as good a deal as the Chinese.
Like, we make these shoes for American brands, and they sell them in the U.S. They pay us to produce them, but a lot of the profit goes to the American retailers.
As Communist China marks its 70th birthday, most people say the economic reforms carried out by the party have certainly improved their lives. Again, Associate Professor of Sociology, Sun Zhongwei.
Nowadays, even migrant workers can afford to eat meat every day. They can earn enough to renovate their village homes or buy a property in a nearby town. So I think every migrant worker has benefited from China's economic reforms.
But he says he's not sure the gains outweigh the huge sacrifices migrant workers have made, like living hundreds of miles away from their families and their homes. In Dongguan City, I'm Jennifer Pak for Marketplace.
Jennifer wraps up her series on the People's Republic of China at 70 tomorrow. How Nie Pengyu's uncle has gotten by as the Chinese economy has grown.